One Day to Feed the World offering takes place next Sunday morning, but you can give at any time. You can go online, and you can give through our website if you like, and denote what your gift is for. You can give today, just if you want to put on your check that it's for One Day to Feed the World offering, or at any of the services coming up. You're welcome to do that. We're asking you to figure out what you earn in one day and set that aside to help feed people who are less fortunate than ourselves. It goes to Convoy of Hope, good people that not only have feeding programs for those that are in need, but also show up at every disaster, every tornado, hurricane here in the United States, every earthquake overseas. They're among the first to show up on the scene with water and food and medical supplies, all the good stuff. So that's next Sunday morning for that offering. Tuesday night, this Tuesday night, is our annual Thanksgiving service. How many of you are like me? The holidays just kind of bang, they're here. Wow, when did that happen? Kind of took a nap in March, and then all of a sudden you're having turkey. And Tuesday night is our annual Thanksgiving service. We're asking our newer folk among us to give a testimony, as well as some of our older ones with something to share. If you have a musical ability you'd like to share, you're welcome to do that. Let me know if you're interested in having a testimony time on Tuesday night. We'll put you in the lineup. Got a good lineup already. But come Tuesday to give thanks. We don't talk about thanks. We don't preach about thanks. We praise God together for all the goodness that he's given to us. So Tuesday night at 7 o'clock. No Wednesday night service this week. Make your way to Grandma's house and have a wonderful Thanksgiving season. This morning we're in Genesis chapter 28. Genesis chapter 28, starting with verse 20. November the 28th, 2016, the Monday after Thanksgiving, my brother John passed away at the age of 62. 3 years earlier, also during this season, his son Jay passed away. He was only 31. My mom tells me that her dad passed away many years ago, only 52 years of age. And as she began to recount all of the relatives and so on that we have lost during this particular season, it seems to be that our family has suffered a lot of loss at Thanksgiving time. Yet, nobody ever did Thanksgiving better than my mom. There was always joy. There was always plenty. There were things for the children, a special time had by all. Memories, yes. Sorrow, no. Sorrow never had a place at our banquet table. And I can certainly understand the holiday blues for those who have lost loved ones, especially for those who have lost their significant other, their soulmate. And I'm not asking you today to be thankful for your losses, but in spite of them. I know, too, that your loss didn't need to take place during this time of the year in order for it to pinch in. There's something about the holidays that reminds us of who's missing. Recognize your losses, but count your blessings. Genesis 28, verse 20. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, "If God will be with me and will watch over me on this journey I'm taking, and will give me food to eat and clothes to wear so that I will return safely to my father's household, then the Lord will be my God, and this stone that I have set up as a pillar will be God's house, and of all that you give me, I will give you a tenth." Father, thank you. Thank you for life. Thank you for the memories that we have. Thank you for the experiences we've been through, and I pray that you would blend them all together today. You would aid our failing selective memories. And bring us the truth of who we have been, what we've been through, and how you have been with us every step of the way. Turn, Lord, any sour attitude we have around into thanksgiving. And we'll thank you for all your kindness to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Jacob, you'll recall, had swindled his brother Esau out of the birthright. The oldest son in every family was entitled to a double portion of the inheritance from his father's estate. Knowing this, Jacob kind of bided his time. And one day he caught Esau coming home from a hunt, and Esau was hungry. And Esau said, "Give me some of that stew you just made." And Jacob said, "No, I don't think there's enough here. You got to give me some or I'm going to die." "Well, if it really means that much to you, give me your birthright and I'll give you some soup." "What good's a birthright if I'm dead?" "Okay, give me some soup." So he had his soup and he went on his way. Years later, Jacob decided that the inheritance wasn't enough. He also wanted the family blessing. So his mother and he conspired together, and he went in before his dad. He put on Esau's clothes. His mother dressed him in some goat's hair on his face, his neck, and his arms so that he would feel like his hairy brother. Disguised his voice best he could. And when directly asked by his blind father, "Are you really Esau?" he said, "Yeah, Dad, it's me. It's me, your son Esau." And he received the blessing. How many have siblings like that? So Esau was a little put out by all that. In fact, he got quite angry, and he said to the people around the camp, "As soon as the old man expires with Jacob." That's one way to get all the inheritance. And so when Mom caught wind of what Esau was saying, she cooked up a plan with Jacob to save his life. They talked to Isaac and said, "You know, the boy needs a wife. Let's send him back to where we come from and that he can find a wife back there among our own people." So he traveled from Cana up north all the way to Haran to his uncle Laban's house, there to find a wife and to start a new life until things calmed down at home. Jacob leaves with little more than a staff in his hand, and along the way he needs to camp for the night. So he takes a stone for his pillow and he falls off to sleep, and he has this vision, this dream. There's a staircase that leads to heaven, and angels are coming down and going up. And he looks to the top of the staircase, and he sees God himself. And the Lord speaks to Jacob, and he says, "I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you." Jacob wakes up and he says, "Phew, this must be the very house of God." So he names it Bethel, the house of God. El being the mighty God, Beth being house, the house of God. And he anoints that stone that he had been lying on. He put it upright. He anoints it. "This is the house of God." And he says back to the Lord, "If God will be with me and will watch over me on this journey I'm taking and will give me food to eat and clothes to wear so that I return safely to my father's household, then the Lord will be my God. And this stone that I have set up as a pillar will be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will give you a tenth." This scene provides Jacob with a wonderful opportunity to take an evaluation of who he is and what he has. He's running away from home. He's on his way to someplace new. He's got himself. He's out from under his dad's roof, provision and care for the first time. He's on his own, and he's just starting this adventure. So he looks around at what he's got. Well, he had a walking stick. He probably had a small sack of food, clothes on his body, of course, maybe a change of clothes. Okay, check, 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 check. That's what I own. This is what I'm worth right now. Clothes on my back, food in my belly. But now he's got one more thing that he didn't start out from home with. He has a promise from God. And what a promise. I'm going to give you this property. I'm going to make you great. I'm going to give you many descendants. The whole world is going to be blessed because of you and because of what I'm going to do for you. From that calculation, Jacob says, all right, whatever you do for me, the increase that I have, when I get back here, if I get back safe and sound, I'm going to give you a tenth of everything that I've accumulated in the time that he doesn't know how long he's going to be, doesn't know how much he's going to have. He's hoping he has at least two sacks full of food and maybe an extra change of clothes, but who knows? He's standing on the edge of the rest of his life. And he says, God, I will give you 10%. I will give 10% to this promise-making God. And that's who he knew God to be. Okay, you've spoken to me. You made me a promise. We're going to go find out if you keep your word. Now, this God had kept his word to Abraham, his grandfather. God had kept his word to Isaac, his father. But how many know that each one of us has to experience God for ourselves? Having your grandfather blessed, having your parents experience God, that's nice. That forms a nice foundation. But friend, you need to know God for yourself. You need to find out if this stuff is true. You need to try it. You need to test it. You need to prove it. This paying of the tithe would denote Jacob's full embrace of the Lord his God. To no other God would he sacrifice, present an offering, or pray. So here he is, young man by the Jordan River. He's got a stick. Fast forward 20 years. He's been where he's going, and he's coming back now when we get to Genesis 32, verse 9. Then Jacob prayed, O God of my father Abraham, God of my father Isaac, Lord, you said to me, go back to your country and your relatives, and I will make you prosper. I am unworthy of all the kindness and faithfulness you have shown your servant. I had only my staff when I crossed this Jordan, but now I have become two camps. Jacob had spent the last 20 years with his uncle Laban in Haran. Over the first 14 years of that time, he worked to pay the bride price that Laban had set on his two daughters. Over the last 6 years, he worked to accumulate his herds, his flocks, and many servants. There was a point after those 14 years were over that Jacob said, okay, I've got my wives, got sons, I'm going back home. And Laban came to him and said, son, listen, I've learned that I've really been blessed since you came here. My flocks have multiplied. I've become a very wealthy man because God's blessing is on your life. I want to keep that flowing. What can I give you to make you stay? And Jacob said, well, you can't give me anything, but if you believe what you just said, then give me my wages. And they figured out what his wages would be. And Jacob said, tell you what, Laban, I'll take all of the speckled, spotted, and streaked sheep, lambs, goats, and that'll be my wage. That way, whenever you look out across the fields, you'll be able to tell which one are mine and which one are yours. You can't say I stole anything from you, because he kind of knew his father-in-law pretty well. And so the striped and the streaked and the spotted, they probably weren't as valuable as the white ones. And so Laban said, done. And that day they separated the one from the other. And Laban could look out and he'd look over to the left and he'd say, wow, there were a lot of white animals on his property. This is pretty good. And he looked over there and he chuckled a little bit because a couple of goats and a few sheep over there. Boy, what a maroon. I really got one over on him, he thought to himself. And for the longest time, it had seemed like Jacob had gotten nowhere. Now, I want to tell you a little bit about the way God works in our lives. It may seem that for the longest time, God isn't working on his promises to you. He spoke something big. He spoke something bold. Oh, you were so excited when you received it. Woo, you couldn't wait. But that's exactly what you have to do, is wait. Because God's promises require faith. And one of the key ingredients, probably the key ingredient to faith, is waiting, is patience. If you take waiting out of faith, there is no faith. We want to live a life much like the drive-thru at Wendy's. You pull up at the microphone and you say, I'd like a number one combo and yeah, jumbo size it. And then go around the corner and pick up your food and you're on your way. God does not work like Wendy's. Okay? You pull up to the speaker and it speaks to you. And it says, son or daughter, I love you. I'm going to bless you. You're going to have a wonderful life. I'm going to do astounding things for you. Woo-hoo! Next thing you know, here comes a tractor trailer, runs right over you. Blum, 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 blum. Oh, where's all those blessings? What a whoa! Hardest thing that God ever asked a person to do is wait. But if you will wait in faith, God will work for you like nothing and no one else. And his interest does not accrue and compound daily or even yearly. You'll look in your account and you'll say, it's not there yet. It's not. How long, O Lord? And for Jacob, the first 14 years, he's working hard and somebody's getting rich, but it's not him. His father-in-law's flocks are multiplying and growing, and his father-in-law is becoming very, very wealthy. But not Jacob. But when God begins to move, time is not a factor. There is no such thing as lost time with God. He can make up for 14 years, 20 years, 38 years. He can do the impossible in the blink of an eye. Over those next 6 years, suddenly everything began to multiply for Jacob. They said the speckled, the spotted, the dark colored, and that's what Laban was looking out of his fields. And little by little, he could see fewer and fewer white animals and more crawling over here. And that galled the man. So he kept going to Jacob and saying, what we talked about before, I think you misunderstood, son. You got to choose the streaked or the spotted, not, I didn't mean and, I meant or. And whatever they said it as, and whatever he changed it to, Laban could still walk out on his porch and he still saw his flock shrinking and Jacob's growing. Oh, this was, if he said, okay, only one-eared lambs that have longer left legs than right legs, those would be, then all the one-eared lambs were growing. And it just, blah, 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 blah. But when God started the ball rolling and when he started paying on his promise to Jacob, it just became expounded upon, and it was miraculous to watch. If only Laban had gotten on track and gone with it instead of fought against it all of this time. In just 6 years, Jacob accumulated more wealth than most people did in a lifetime. And that guy that proved to be so difficult to work for, well, God knew how to take care of him. When you're in that 14-year stint, you're trusting God, it can be so hard because evil people will look like they're prospering. People will treat you terrible, and while they're treating you terrible, they're being blessed and they're growing and they're getting wealthier, and you're scratching your head and you're saying, how does this work, God? I'm serving you, they're not. You promised wonderful things to me. They laugh at your promises. They're doing well, and I seem to be getting poorer all the time. Sometimes we wish God was doing more than just watching over us. During that six-year time, his wages were changed 10 separate times. He didn't have a union he could go to. There was not a higher boss that he could appeal to. Laban was large and in charge. Sometimes we wish God was doing more than watching over. And Lord, Lord, do you see me? Yes, I see you. Well, if you do, how can you allow this to continue? Why doesn't it change? God taught me there are times of battle and there are times of victory. And there's no telling how long the battle's going to go. Some battles we fight will last for an afternoon. Some it's through the middle of the night. But some battles will last the majority of your life. But after the hardest battles come the greatest victories. If it is being prolonged, it's because God is compounding interest in his own way. And he knows how to bless suddenly. He knows how to turn things around immediately. And in his timing and in his way, he will pour out on you like you can't even contain. How long, O Lord? Promise maker, promise keeper, you see us through to the end. So Jacob testifies as he comes back to the Jordan with all of these things. I am unworthy of all the kindness and faithfulness you've shown your servant. I had only my staff when I crossed this Jordan, but now I have become two camps. Let's do inventory again. When he crossed, he had a stick. Now he has four wives. How many here have four wives? Anybody? If you do, we need to talk after service. He has 11 sons and one on the way. A daughter, many servants, camels, goats, sheep, cattle, and donkeys. I am unworthy of all the great stuff. You remember, he gave a gift of some of his stuff to Esau. He was afraid that Esau was still angry about 20 years ago. And so to appease him, he sent a small flock of donkeys and a small herd of donkeys, a small flock of sheep, a small herd of this and a small flock of that. Do you know how many animals he sent ahead of him? 550. You add up all those flocks in there. 550 animals. Somebody shows up at your house tomorrow with 550 animals. Dennis, you got enough room on your property for 550 animals? We might be doing some butchering or something. Yeah, 550. And that's just a slim slice of what God, he went with a stick. And he gave that kind of a gift to his brother. Let alone everything that he kept for himself. Jacob had a deal with God. Here's his deal. Give me enough food and clothes to wear and bring me back safe, and I'll give you a tenth of everything above that. How many know God went a little larger than what Jacob was asking? Enough food, enough clothes, keep me alive. And now he's got all this around him. I came with a staff, and now I've become two camps. What he means by that is if you divide everything I have in half, each half looks like more than any rich man I ever saw. I have two full lives worth of accumulations here. God's promise to take care of Jacob and watch over him was modest compared to what he actually did for Jacob. You'll find this true for God. God does not overspeak. He underspeaks. Yeah, I'll take care of you. And he winks when he says that. I'll take care of you. I got your back. It'll be okay. I'll see to it. And he always goes over and above what he has promised. Isn't that just like God? For so long, it didn't look like God was working. In fact, it looked just the opposite. The other team was winning. Laban's flocks were growing. He was getting more servants. Jacob was losing sleep out there in the fields trying to take care of somebody else's stuff. Lord, when? How long? God, did you see what he just did to me? Yes, I saw. What are you doing? Just wait. You wait and see. It's going to be good. Wait and see, wait and see, wait and see. You may be young and just starting out. You don't want to hear that. Wait and see. You may still be under your parents' roof. This is a great time for you to take inventory of your life. Make a checklist of who you are, what you have, what your abilities are. 12 pairs of socks, 6 pairs of jeans, 3 t-shirts. Had 10, but mom threw 7 of them out. They stink. This is what I have. This is who I am. This is what my abilities are. Commit your life to Him right now. Accept His promises on your behalf and take inventory. You watch and you wait. You stay with God. The world will make promises to you. I counsel you, take note of how the world treats its people and what happens to them. Let them do the drinking. Let them do the partying. Let them do what they want to. Let them run around. You watch. You see what happens to those people. And you bide your time in the promises of God. I did this as a teenager. I set my life aside for God. I looked at myself. I took inventory. I said, I'm not intelligent like my older brother. I have no standout skills. I was no kind of a mechanic. I couldn't do things with electricity. I hated school. And I had no idea what I was going to do with life. And I started out as a chemistry major at Penn State, but I wasn't good at that. And I was just failing. I was failing at life. And I fell into a deep depression. And I spent some time. I tried reading the Word. I tried praying. But those times got shorter and shorter. I was so sad. I was so depressed. And one night I wrote a letter to God. And I kept it in my wallet for so long, I've lost some pieces to it. But I finally taped it on this card the other day. And it's dated Sunday, March the 14th, 1976. How many have been born since 1976? It was 11:10 p.m. at night. If you know me, I don't do 11:10 p.m. at night. I wrote, Dear God, it's hard. And a lot of times I feel alone and that no one cares about or even likes me. But God, I believe in you and I will follow you no matter what. Just tell me where to go, how high to jump, and I'll jump. Joel Edward Everhart, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And he gave me just a little word picture. This big circle is God and this little tiny one is me. And I'm going up a mountain. And he said, Joel, you're not to the top yet. It's going to be hard for a while yet. But when you get over the peak, you'll see that all you've been suffering and all you've been going through, it has a purpose. And I'm building something on the other side for you to find. And when you get there, you'll be glad that you endured. You'll be glad that you hung in there. But you can't see it yet, but I can. You just have to trust me that it's there. You just have to trust me that it's there. It was during this period of my life, I was 18 years old. I was so depressed, I contemplated suicide. I held the gun in my hand. But the fear of hell kept me alive. And then at some point, I wrote this letter to God. And I said, God, I'll keep on keeping on. And I'll trust you in all of this. Now, I'm still nothing special. But I testify to you, I wouldn't have missed my life for anything in the world. What a joy, what a journey it has been, how God has shown up in so many different ways. All I did was lay my nothing on God's altar. All I did was bring my nothing to Him. We used to sing a song back then, something beautiful, something good. All my confusion, He understood. All I had to offer Him was brokenness and strife, but He made something beautiful of my life. As an 18-year-old, I used to sing that in faith. I said, there's nothing beautiful in my life, but I'll say something. He will make something. All I have to offer Him, I'm in that phase, is brokenness and strife. So you can have that, God, and I'll just trust you for the rest. I don't know if you've ever met my kids. They're beautiful. I don't know if you ever met the people that they married. They're awesome. I don't know if you've ever seen my grandkids. If you've got a couple hours, I'll tell you about them. They're unique. They're beautiful. They're awesome. I own a home. I own two cars. Both the cars are paid off. Look how well dressed I am today. Lord, if you'll give me enough to eat. Looking into that dark future, I didn't know how Joel Everhart was going to make a way in life. I didn't see any possibilities. All I could do was throw my nothing on God's altar and say, I will trust your promises. All I had were the promises of God. And as it turns out, they have been more than I've ever needed, more than I could have ever imagined. Look what the Lord has done. I have so much more than I ever dreamed as a teenager. This is Thanksgiving. It's time to evaluate, to take inventory. You may be young and just starting out. You may be in one of those waiting seasons. You've got a promise, but it hasn't come yet, and you're longing, you're waiting. You're in pain, you're having difficulty, but you're trusting your God. Be thankful for His promises, for they are true. Worship during the dry seasons waters the coming crops. You can't see the blessing. You can't see how in the world you're going to live through this, let alone be blessed. When you worship during those moments, you are watering the crops on the other side of the mountain. When you get to the other side, you will be amazed. He'll not only give you enough food to eat. Some of you have been laid off. You've lost a job. Your career has changed. You've even lost your ability to work, and you wondered, how in the world am I going to make it for my family? God will provide. Jehovah Jireh, my provider, His grace is sufficient for me. Worship during the dry seasons waters the crops that are coming. If you, like me, are closer to the end of your journey than you are to the beginning, count your blessings, give God praise, and then testify to the next generation. Let them know you're not all that skilled and wonderful as you look to be. Oh, I tell my stories, but you need to know something. You need to know a key to all my stories. Without God, it would not have happened. Without God, it would not be. Without the Lord, you wouldn't be here. He deserves all the praise. Son, let me tell you, there were times in my life I thought I'd lost it all. But it was God that breathed life back into me. He deserves the honor. Think about Jacob. We think Jacob was such a smart fellow. Oh, was he? How many husbands we have here this morning? How many think you would have been able to figure out if it wasn't the right woman the night you got married? Huh? He said, I like Rachel. I'll work for you 7 years for Rachel. And Laban said, done. After 7 years, he sent Leah into the tent. When Jacob woke up in the morning, he said, whoa, wait a second, I married the wrong woman. You've made mistakes in your life. Do you ever do that one? Huh? So this guy who had a stick, between he and the stick, guess which one was smarter? He had a stick. But he came back with two calves. Why? Because God said, I will bless you. Because God, and the same God of Jacob is the God of you. Amen. Stop looking in the mirror and trusting in yourself and counting up and trying to figure out what you can do. Put your nothing on the altar and grab a hold of the promises of God and see what He won't do in your lifetime. And have a happy Thanksgiving. You've had some losses, I know. And it's okay to cry some tears over those. But when you gather around that table with your family, love them. Don't just talk football. Don't just talk turkey. Give glory and honor to the God that has brought us this far. And let him know why we are such a blessed people. Would you stand with me this morning? Promise maker.